Thank you for tuning in today, and welcome to Grace Living for Everyday Life. The objective of this program, through teaching and interviews, is to help those who do not have a relationship with Jesus to discover the joy and simplicity of knowing Him, and for those who know Jesus, that they may discover the source of Grace Living, which is Jesus living through us. Your host, Bob Jones, will guide you through these teachings and interviews. We hope you find them helpful and enlightening. And now, here is your host for today's program, Bob Jones.
I'm continuing with the teaching series, Resting in Jesus' Life. I'll be discussing the second topic of the second section of the study, How Does Satan and Demonic Forces Use the World System to Hinder Us? Last time I talked about the bent toward wrongdoing each of us continue to have after becoming a Christian, even though we are truly new creations because of Jesus. In the first section of the study, we learned about the simplicity of receiving Jesus into our lives. After receiving Jesus, we become a child of God, and God came to live in us. God then wants to express their life through us as we practice depending on them. We are transformed from a sinner into a saint who still has the ability to sin. This bent towards wrongdoing, called by a number of names in the Bible, the flesh, old sinful nature, indwelling sin, to name a few, is the reason you and I can be tempted even though we are new creations in Christ. Continuing with our baseball analogy, the opposing team we face is none other than the all-star pitcher Satan and his demonic team. The crowd in the stadium are the worldly fans who root for them. Satan's demonic forces use the world system to tempt the Christian to hit by themselves at home plate or try to entice us to come play on their team. Satan and his forces' primary temptation is for us to live independently from our power source, which is God. And since the life of the Christian is to be a life of faith, that is, a life of dependence, the temptation will always be, in one form or another, to move us off of a simple life of trust. The opposite of faith is unbelief. And unbelief can be characterized by misplaced trust in anything or anybody other than God. The Bible calls it idolatry. Luke 8:14 implies our spiritual growth can be hindered by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. And unbelief can simply be a lack of trust in God to deal with our needs or the needs of others. And that's why the Christian life is called a fight of faith. Faith, that is a life of trust, is what activates God's power to work in our lives. 1 Peter 1:5 states, through faith we are shielded by God's power. Ephesians 6:16 says, in addition, take up the shield of faith, which by which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, referring to Satan. Ephesians 6:17 states, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And this verse encourages us to have faith in the promises of God to come against the enemy. Jesus, when tempted in the wilderness, countered Satan's temptation with the word of God. In essence, Satan and his team want us up at home plate by ourselves. They want to entice us to live the Christian life in our own strength, or to entice us to come play on their team by giving in to fleshly lust. As we discussed in past programs, God always wants to swing the bat with us. And as we practice a life of dependence, resting in Jesus at home plate, Satan and his team will put pressure on us through trials, temptation, and difficulties to try to move us off a life of childlike trust. We need to continually refocus our thinking on the centrality of trusting God as our life as we are buffeted by life's troubles. Romans 12 Verse 2 refers to this as renewing our mind. God's word becomes extremely important as we practice trusting in the promises of God to deliver us in time of need. Some folks may question whether Satan and his demonic forces really exist. One Christian leader shared, just start working against them and you'll find out they're real. Some words of wisdom. Names in the Bible often denote the character of the person. And Satan means adversary or accuser. Satan is referred to as the devil, which means slander. Satan and his forces oppose God's work in any way they can. Satan is the accuser of Christians. Revelation 12:10 states, who, referring to Satan, accuses us day and night before God. And fortunately, we have two advocates who are continually interceding on our behalf, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, both who are living in us. The enemy will try to accuse us individually of our worthlessness and unworthiness. And understanding who we are in Christ, we are God's children, forgiven, God lives in us, we are seated in heavenly places at Jesus' right hand with all power and authority. And using these scriptural affirmations to come against those thoughts injected by the enemy is how we can effectively use the Word of God to counter the enemy's attack. Satan is called the god of this world. 1 John 5:19 says, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers." Satan uses the world system for this very purpose. 1 John 2:16 describes the world system. "For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father," referring to God the Father, "but from the world." And James 3:14-16 describes the wisdom of the world. "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." Fortunately, 1 John 4:4 says that the one who is in us, referring to God, is greater than the one who is in the world, referring to Satan. 1 John 5:4-5 states, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." So resting in Jesus' life by a simple life of faith and appropriating the promises of the Bible are our defense against the enemy Satan. You may have already noticed that there's a striking parallel between the characteristics of Satan, his world system, and our bent towards wrongdoing. They all have the same characteristics. Ephesians 2:1-3 implies the source of sinful behavior has its origin in Satan. Satan is characterized as a liar, thief, murderer, destroyer. He's called a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, and he's considered the perpetrator of all evil. 2 Corinthians 6:15 states Satan is referred to as Belial, a name describing total wickedness and lawlessness. It's implying that Satan is totally worthless in God's sight. Satan, his worldly philosophy, and our bent towards wrongdoing are all a mirror image of the same values of worthlessness. Romans 6:11-13 implies that as believers we can offer our bodies as instruments of wickedness. And this is not a very pleasant thought. And as I've discussed repeatedly, the only option the Bible gives for an overcoming life is practicing a new way of living, practicing allowing the power of God to work through us. The Bible indicates that this will be a battle. Ephesians 6:10-12 implies we are fighting against spiritual forces in heavenly places. And the implication is that we need to fight this spiritual battle by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, Paul indicates the weapons he fights with are not weapons of the world. The power of prayer is one of the most underestimated weapons we have. A life of faith is a life of dependence, which is in reality a life of prayer. And prayer is a powerful weapon against Satan and his forces. According to 1 Timothy 3:6, Satan's original downfall was caused by pride. Psalm 10:4 describes the wicked, prideful person. It says, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God." Pride is the epitome of self-confidence, which is the exact opposite of a life of dependence, which is humility. Resting in Jesus' life is recognizing that we are without resources in ourselves to produce the life that God is looking for. In Isaiah 14:12-14 and Ezekiel 28:11-15, these verses shed some light on the probable origin of Satan. It appears he was a He was created a beautiful and perfect as a high-ranking angel, yet angels were created with free will. And because of his great beauty and power, he became proud and decided he wanted to be God. He led a rebellion against God with other angels, which make up Satan's demonic team. Demons are commonly thought to be fallen angels working under the direction of Satan. Since Satan is a created being, he does not have the same attributes as God. He's not capable of being everywhere at once, nor does he know everything, as God does. Yet he is very powerful and has a highly sophisticated demonic organization for opposing God's work. Satan and his forces are experts in deception. Revelation 12:9 indicates he's the deceiver of the whole world, and 1 Corinthians 14:14 describes Satan as an angel of light. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians about false teachers who masqueraded as apostles of Christ, but who were taking advantage of them and teaching them incorrect doctrine. 1 Corinthians 11:3, Paul states, "But as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning," referring to Satan, "your minds may somehow be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Again, the goal of Satan and his forces will be to move us from depending on Jesus as our life any way they can. 1 Timothy 4:1 states the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Demonic forces can promote false teaching. False teachers were forbidding people to marry and telling them what they should eat. And Paul was saying this was wrong doctrine, as each believer, by prayer and the Word of God, was determined God's individual leading for their lives. Again, the attempt is to move the Christian off of a simple life of trust. And in Galatians 1:6-9, false teachers were attempting to introduce false doctrine to the Christians in Galatia. Paul says very passionately, "If anybody is teaching you false doctrine, let him be eternally condemned." It's a nice way of saying, let them go to hell. Interesting, this false doctrine being promoted was moving the Galatians off of a simple life of trust in the power of the Holy Spirit back to a law of self-effort. Paul in Galatians 5:12 says that he wishes the false teachers who were preaching a life of law and promoting religious circumcision would complete the job by castrating themselves. I think we can see Paul is very passionate that the only way to live the Christian life is by practicing a life of dependence by resting in Jesus' life. Besides tempting us, promoting false doctrine to deceive us, Satan and his forces can incite persecution, inflict sickness, inject improper thoughts, and stir up trouble in many creative ways. Just as God wants to work through believers, Satan and his demonic forces want to work through people as well. Their goal is to hinder God's work in our lives and to move us off of depending on Jesus as our source of life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Victory Over Darkness and The Bondage Breaker by Neil Anderson are two excellent books which explain how demonic forces can impact Christians. The Bible indicates in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that we all have a spirit, soul, and body. And Dr. Anderson shares that demonic forces cannot penetrate the spirit of a Christian, which houses the Holy Spirit, but can impact the body and our soul, which is our mind, emotions, and will. Also, Dr. Anderson explains the importance of understanding who we are in Christ. We are truly new creations and house the very presence of God within us. We are loved, accepted, and forgiven by God and securely part of God's family. This is an important defense, as we discussed earlier, against the enemy as they attempt to influence our thinking. James 4:1-10 admonishes Christians to submit themselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. We are admonished to repent of our sins, even though we are forgiven children of God. We are to get back to humbling ourselves by faith, simply depending on God's grace to produce the life of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 5:9 tells us to resist Satan by standing firm in our faith. Unrepentant sin can open the door for demonic forces to gain footholds or strongholds in the Christian's life. Dr. Anderson cites many examples of how the failure to understand who we are in Christ, deviating from a life of trust, or indulging our sinful passions can lead to spiritual bondage for the child of God. The preventive path for avoiding Satan's deception is focusing on practicing a life of dependence by resting in Jesus' life and keeping short accounts by repenting of any known sin, resting in our forgiveness as God's child. Obviously, Satan and his forces are not the only source of trouble in our life. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Next time, I'll discuss what are the purpose of the trials and tribulations that we experience in our daily life. I hope you'll join me next time.
This concludes today's program of Grace Living for Everyday Life. Thank you for listening. If you would like to contact Bob Jones, you can email him at bob4gracewalk@yahoo.com. That's Bob, the number 4, gracewalk@yahoo.com. Or you may contact him through the online community section of this website. We hope you will tune into the program next time, and have a grace-filled day.